Well, they said this was war, and that's the way France is pursuing it on this Tuesday, November 17th. I'm David Brown. This is the Texas Standard, getting up to speed. France is bombing the so-called Islamic State for a second day, targeting the group's stronghold in Raqqa. Also today, Russia declaring the downing of a passenger jet in Egypt the work of ISIS. A homegrown bomb, says Vladimir Putin. The Russian government has issued a $50 million reward for information on who's behind the attack. And Moscow is launching cruise missile strikes on the provinces of Aleppo and Idlib. The U.S. strategy with regard to ISIS, no change, says President Obama. Moreover, the president is refusing to back down from his call to resettle some 10,000 Syrian refugees in the U.S. This over the objections of more than 26 state governors, including the governor of Texas. The joke goes now that the governor is refusing resettlement of Syrians. Next, he'll refuse the resettlement of Californians. That a reference to the fact that there may be precious little from a legal standpoint that the governor can do to stop someone who's been granted refugee status from settling wherever that person wants to settle. Attorneys disagree about what power governors have or don't in this situation. The Texas junior senator and presidential candidate Ted Cruz plans to introduce a bill to stop the Syrian refugee resettlement. We'll keep you posted on that front. But this is mostly a political sideshow to some intelligent specialists who warn that the most serious challenge is technological. Joining us now, retired U.S. Navy Admiral Bobby Inman. If you followed the news for any length of time, you're familiar with that name. Over the years, he's directed the National Security Agency and was Deputy Director of Central Intelligence. He's now the Centennial Chair in National Policy at the LBJ School of Public Affairs, UT Austin. Admiral Inman, thanks for being here.
I'm delighted.
Has U.S. intelligence been able to keep up with the threat that ISIS appears to pose to us?
The answer is resoundingly no. That's two part. Terrorists are the toughest human target, paralleled only by the narcotics dealers. Small cells, almost impossible to penetrate. So you are critically dependent on the ability to find and read their communications. Since Edward Snowden, that's become infinitely harder as U.S. companies seeking to keep their European business have increasingly shifted to encryption. Mm-hmm. That means it's vastly easier for the terrorists to hide their planning. So the prospect that we could be surprised, unfortunately, is higher than it's been in a long time.
You're probably aware, CIA Director John Brennan saying that he hopes that the Paris attacks are going to be a kind of wake-up call to policymakers and lawmakers. He says something very similar to what I believe I just heard you say, that the global intelligence community has been hampered by the privacy protections post-Snowden, and it sounds like you agree with him.
I agree very strongly with him. Totally aside from how we deal with the terrorist threat, which could be imminent since they told us they were going to hit in France. Now they've said they're going to hit Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We need to recognize that for national security, there is a trade-off in how much privacy we can and should afford, particularly since we know that that's where they have, for a long time now, recruited new recruits for ISIS, and where they, in fact, have planned the operations they're going to undertake.
You know, Admiral Inman, you mentioned Washington, the YouTube warning that it will be attacked. Is that something you think can be thwarted?
I don't think it's a hopeless case. I think with good hard work by law enforcement and intelligence, you can detect and prevent. It depends on what the target is in the Capitol. If it's the Capitol building or the White House, there's so much protection already rigged that you got a pretty good shot at catching them in advance. Mm. If it's the Washington subway, if it's one of the other departments, if it's a gathering at a major football stadium or whatever, that's much harder. We ought to look at what happened outside the soccer stadium in Paris, where they didn't go into the stadium. Mm-hmm. They set off the alarms hoping that was going to produce a flood of people stampeding out of the stadium, where they then could have gotten large numbers of casualties with just a handful of bombers. So anything in the Washington metropolitan area, they will believe to be a success. My great worry here is the suicide bomber. We have been accordingly fortunate to this date that the terrorists who've done attacks except for those who were flying the airplanes on 9/11, have wanted to survive. Now, obviously, if the Christmas bomber had been successful, he would have perished along with the others. But the guy who put the car in Times Square et al., they wanted to survive. Mm-hmm. We've had young Americans recruited who've gone to Al-Shabaab in Somalia and others to ISIS who have served as suicide bombers. And that, for me, is at the top of the worry list. Young Americans who were recruited, sent back. It could also be ones that are recruited in the U.S. who've never gone.
Admiral Lindman, I said that was my last question, but I have to ask one more. And I'm thinking about the listener who hears us talking and is skeptical, not just about the duration of the war, but the intentions, our ability to stop the bad guys. And who says, well, look, we hear this rhetoric about the need for surveillance to stop the bad guys. And in a sense, doesn't that kind of turn us into bad guys ourselves because we sort of create this sort of culture of suspicion and living in fear? To them, what do you say?
Yeah, those with that attitude would have been criticizing Winston Churchill in the late 30s as he warned of what was coming with a global war.
That's what we're dealing with. This is a Churchillian moment, you think?
Correct.
Admiral Bobby Inman, former deputy director of the CIA and former director of the NSA. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're most welcome.